Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, The Folly of Rebranding, Feedback, Part 2. Questions this cast answers are, should I call feedback something else? Do I need to soften my feedback? And is response to feedback generational? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Given it's already basically the end of the year, we can probably assume that your next year's budget is already solid. You've crafted your training needs, you've already got budgetary approval, and if that's the case, and if Manager Tools is part of that plan, you may want to begin your conversation with us. Our master calendar gets filled up pretty quickly, and by the time this podcast is released, we've already probably booked 25% of our final deliveries for 2024, so don't miss out. Getting on our calendar incurs no expense from you or to you whatsoever. All you got to do is email Maggie, her email address, maggie@manager-tools.com, to discuss details and dates. We're going to continue this theme, this conversation of feedback, but also we do need to address the bit about calling performance reviews check-ins. Because the article continues, it goes further than just simply feedback. And it goes on to say, companies are also banishing another negatively charged term, review, which they're replacing with connect sessions, coaching, self-reflection, and opportunity discussions. And this is the exact same stupidness all over again. It's the same solution to the wrong problem, because the problem isn't the name. It's the activity, or the lack thereof the activity in the case of feedback, I mean, or even reviews. If you call someone's annual performance review a connect session and then proceed to do what you used to do back when you called that thing a performance review, they are not only going to keep calling it their performance review, but they're also going to act like, if it's done as poorly as most company systems make it and most manage to deliver it, what's the purpose of this? Why are we rebranding this? They're going to call it review. We still call it our review. You can call it your connect session. And when they're talking to their peers, they're going to say, oh my gosh, I got to go. I got my review right now. They're totally going to do that because they know you're trying to just outsmart them with your cool words.
And honestly, I hope we're not the only ones insulted by these thought leaders coming up with all these softer, cuddlier names for things that are necessary for the successful functioning of human organizations. Reviews of what occurred and how to proceed are necessary. And okay, we'll take some solace. I'll take some solace in the fact that feedback and reviews are being discussed in the same article, hinting at the connection between these two things.
Yeah, exactly. A suggestion that people shouldn't only talk to their managers about performance once a year at the review. They both exist at the same time. So that's good.
But we're probably getting ahead of ourselves. They're probably just getting new names and not linking the two things together. They just took a bunch of things that people find scary, pushed them into the same article, and then rebranded them. Okay, cool. And just because that's literally just because some young people, which is, by the way, the article's aspersion, not ours. We are not insulting you. I can think of, honestly, one of the most impressive professionals I have met recently is no older than 25. And I met this person, so professional, so ready to enter the professional world and contribute. And they recommended two books that I hadn't read, which is pretty rare.
That's pretty rare.
I would suggest that this person would be insulted by the idea that a name change would outsmart them.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's just some people are smarter and we're just going to outsmart you with the words to convince you that you should be a willing and happy little recipient of the thing that we want to give you.
Right. The article says young people don't like it. They find it harsh. They find it stressful, difficult, whatever. So we should change it. And we do not agree.
We do not agree. And there was also a suggestion in the article. It suggests that, or it states that, Microsoft, or at Microsoft, managers are encouraged to use the word perspectives instead of traditional feedback. Now, we at Manager Tools think it's a dangerous precedent to set to imply that your manager's performance communication to you is just their perspective. Because perspective means something. It doesn't mean guidance or correction or adjustment or it means this is my perspective. So, for example, what if your company launched a new product that didn't sell? No one bought it. And so the company obviously didn't meet its quarterly announcement or on its revenue goals, and stock market response lowered your company stock price, right? Making it harder for your company then to raise capital. Do you think the CEO should ignore it? Because the customers and the market, it's just their perspective.
The perspective that it's not a good product.
Yeah, it's just their perspective. But like, it was a perfectly valid product. It's just, that's just their perspective. You can try it and then quickly find a new job. Because I got to tell you, that CEO will not last very long if that's the stance they're going to take. Just like managers who think renaming performance communications to perspective is going to make a change or do a difference in terms of the individual's behavior.
I can't imagine that that's a helpful way to frame it. Because what if your direct, after you give her some perspective, decided that their perspective was better than yours? After all, a perspective is just, it's
subjective. It's not objective whatsoever. It's just like a spin.
One thing can happen and two people can have different perspectives of it. It's not guidance. It's just differing points of view. Would a manager who's just delivering a perspective allow a direct to continue to make the same mistake over and over again? And do we really think that managers are delivering positive perspectives? Because I don't think they're doing enough of that.
Well, this is my perspective of the thing you did well. Really, though? Really? I don't know. You might want to think about this, Kate. From my perspective, it looked like that presentation was excellent. I don't know that that's going to happen. I think it kind of inherently, without maybe intent to, inherently has a negative connotation. It's like, oh, the way you did it requires my input in order to adjust it. There's an implication of adjustment.
Yeah. And I've had conversations like this in public conferences where people come in and we talk about feedback and we talk about this and they say, oh, I want to ask why they were late. Like, let's say someone's late. Okay. That's a thing that happened. My perspective of it might be that lateness is not helpful because it means that we can't start your portion of the agenda on time. That's my perspective as the manager. The direct, okay, maybe they have a different perspective.
Yeah, their perspective is the agenda went way better, actually. I should always go last because that works way better for my schedule. Who cares what your perspective is?
Also, somebody said the other day to me, they said, well, we should ask why. I said, what if they're in the break room eating a sandwich? Maybe their perspective is the sandwich is more important than the meeting. Is that a valid perspective? Like, what are you going to do with that? And then you have to argue the deliciousness of the sandwich. It's a lot. And most managers don't realize this. The reason managers have to give feedback is because we have to do internally what the ecosystem does to us externally.
Yes.
This is how organisms, which is what your company is, an organism rather than a mechanism, because it's filled with organic people, stay in stasis with the environment. The environment gives us inputs. The environment measures and gives us inputs, stock price, sales, et cetera. And those inputs that we are getting cause us to need to change what is happening inside the organism in order to adapt. And so managers are simply, by delivering input, performance guidance, these types of things, which we're going to call manager tools feedback, and that's what we recommend you do. If you're doing it correctly, we are simply taking those external inputs and adapting them to the individual inputs needed for the overall organization to survive.
Exactly. That's it.
And I realize to some extent our perception of this is a little bit like academic creep. Or like,
yeah, okay. I would agree. We're so deep in this trench.
We spend so much time.
We do.
And I would suggest the person who wrote the article doesn't spend so much time, doesn't.
Yeah.
Because it also shares that really cute story.
Oh my gosh. What's an article without a cute story?
Oh, I love a cute, what, like kittens.
Exactly, exactly.
I actually do love kittens, but that's okay.
Right, I know, me too. Okay, so super cute story. Where the author mentioned that he had a workshop where attendees wrote down regrets that they had about delivering feedback and then put all of those little notes in a miniature black plastic coffin. Yeah. How cute. No, it's adorable. At booking.com, they realized employees might also need to learn how to receive feedback, right? Because it's not just about the managers. We want them to get over their past burden with their, the cute little coffin story. Presumably they lit it on fire after. But I mean, you got to do something to destroy it, smash it.
Plastic.
I don't know. That's actually a good point. I didn't even think of that. But yeah, like you got to do something with it or bury it. Maybe you bury it. I don't know. Weird.
The whole thing makes it worse.
It does make it worse. And then booking.com is like, okay, but also, it's not just about the managers and their experiences. What about the recipients, right? People need to learn how to receive it. So they put together videos of executives sharing where they had a learning moment, which came from others' feedback or perspectives. And that's great. It doesn't teach people how to receive feedback. But again, another cutesy little story that we can put in there to make it all seem warm and fuzzy. It just says that sometimes feedback is good.
Which we agree with again.
Exactly. It would be far better for managers to have a specific way of giving feedback, though, and not perspectives.
Yeah. My perspective is that sandwich isn't any good.
It's not good. It's not worth being late for the meeting. Late to the meeting for. It's for dang sure. Exactly.
It goes on. The article proves that either the writer or his interviewees know absolutely nothing about feedback when a chief people officer says he himself is not immune to feedback anxiety. He's quoted in the article as saying, "I don't know you very well and you're already pulling me to the side. I can catch myself being a bit defensive."
This person is a chief people officer who thinks that feedback should just be given by any random person to any other random person.
Yeah. What does he mean by, I don't know you very well?
I don't know you very well. Are you
who's talking to him?
Where are these people? Yeah. Who is talking to him?
Right. It's silliness, honestly. And further proof that our guidance to build trust first is key to giving feedback. Right. The idea of, I don't know you very well, and you're already pulling me aside. Okay. Also, already? How long have you known? It's a lot.
It feels like a past experience. I mean, it feels that way to me. It feels to me like a situation where this is real. This happened that one time, and this person is still hanging on to that experience. Like, really, that's what it feels like. It's got far too much context in that statement to just be a generic. It's weird. It's not. I hope that that chief people officer knows better than to have strangers giving feedback to strangers. And they hopefully know it's about building trust, or you've got to build trust first.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So we're going to go back into the age discussion with a little bit more on the fact that the problem here, the problem that's being exhibited, the one we're apparently trying to solve in this article, is not a generational problem. Now, in the article, again, there's a story of a teacher who got very anxious when she was told there would be an evaluator in her classroom. And thus, she would get an email after her teaching session, but she wouldn't even read it for a few days. Just like let it sat there before she was capable of sitting down and reading it. She also admits her fears were somewhat unwarranted because the reviews weren't as bad as she thought those reviews were going to be.
How would calling that email feed forward make the scenario any more palatable?
Subject line, feed forward. Will this encourage you to read it immediately?
It wouldn't.
No.
We don't care what you call that email. If it happens infrequently and it's from someone you don't trust, you're going to get anxious.
Yeah, you are.
It's
of
completely
course you are.
Reasonable. We've told this story before, and if you know me, you know how much I love football. Although it's a bad year for me. This is the year of 2023, the year the Saints are trying to kill me. Okay. This is a story, we've told the story before about how NFL players get feedback. Whether you like American football or not, how dare you? The players who play in the NFL are the very best in the world. Mm-hmm. Mostly because
they are. Yeah.
There's just us. And also not the Saints this year. Okay. And one of the ways they got there is by being drowned in feedback. Mm-hmm. Every single player who plays in a game 24 hours later sits down with his position coach and goes over every one of his plays, zoomed in on only him in high definition. Also, by the way, if you are an Atlanta Falcons fan, they have a new really cool imagery. Like they're doing like aerial drone footage of players that is incredible, partially for this reason. And we know someone, a head coach, who told us that the players who don't like the feedback sessions are gone from the league in 1 or 2 years. It's part of the system. Most of them are fine with the sessions. There are people, though, who want more hours with their film and they want more feedback from their coaches. Those guys, he says, are going to the Hall of Fame.
Of course they are.
That's how you get there. You look at what you did, you ask yourself where it could be better, and then you strive for that. Yes, we watch tape.
Yeah.
We go back.
Every single time. Can you imagine every single time you did your job, it was broken down in grave detail in front of your face. Can you imagine? No wonder these people are excellent.
Right.
No wonder they stay excellent.
Right.
Literally, every single time they do what they do, they get feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
I've heard this too with like baseball swings. Like they watch, or even pitching. Probably pitching is a better example of where does the elbow go and where does the elbow get dropped and how fast and, you know, where is it coming? Where is the ball coming off of the hand and like the fingers and things like that? These are ways where we can view what is helpful and what isn't. Be great to have it in real life. That's how you get great.
That's how you get great. That's how you stay great.
Next month, we're hosting an EMC and ECC in Seattle. January 16th through 17th, we'll be training managers and professionals at the Seattle Airport Marriott. January is a big time of year for changes in role and organization for a lot of professionals. If you want to up your professional skill set, we can teach you how to be a good manager and a better communicator at our events. Come to Seattle and let us help you be more successful. January 16th and 17th. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training. Okay, going back to the article.
So going back to the article. Now, there was a little bit of pushback in the article on the rebranding scheme itself. Really interesting stuff. I mean, just like groundbreaking information. Things like feedback is a good thing as long as it isn't used to criticize an employee in a mean or public manner. How insightful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that information. So you're saying that I shouldn't just be mean or rude to people, especially in a public fashion. I never would have come there on my own. I'm so glad to learn this information. Thank you. Thank you. Because that's the first thing I would have done. Been mean to a person in a public setting is exactly where I would have gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really good. Also, there's a comment cited that making feedback sound too soft or using buzzy words might make the feedback not have the desired effect.
What's killing me here is that in the examples, again and again, over and over again in the article, it's just assumed that feedback is negative.
Oh, yeah. It's always, always.
I honestly believe that the author doesn't know that it could be positive or negative.
Oh, yeah. I actually think they're coming at this from a we're only talking about things done wrong perspective. I can't imagine they're talking about both.
There's no evidence of it. They're talking about both.
Mm-mm.
Oh, and later in the article, the slur against young people is repeated.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Poor young people.
Again, quoting, the divide on the issue is partially generational, several HR specialists say. That is all the example we need to remind the manager tools community the extent to which the HR community has been completely captured by the generational management lie.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it goes on. It goes on and on.
I mean, it goes on to say that baby boomers learned to suck it up and perform. Thank you again for that important information that we never discovered. Of course they did. They learned to suck it up, when they joined the workforce and started getting a whole bunch of negative feedback. And so will every other generation to come. Thus is humanity. Every other generation learned these lessons. The only difference here is individuals who are new to the workplace haven't had the opportunity to learn the lessons yet. It's got nothing to do with their generation or the fact that they need to be treated differently. It's got everything to do with how little experience they've got being there so early into their careers. That's all it is.
The truth of the matter is, when young people enter the workforce, they will always struggle against what is true of the workforce, which is that things are different than all of the previous experience that a young person has had in their life. Mm-hmm. Entering the workforce will always cause young people to say, gosh, I wish it was different. And business, and especially in the United States where we see growth and all these things, and we have data that suggests that businesses are well-run and successful, those businesses that are run in certain ways are most successful. Let's just say it out loud. Forever and ever, young people who come into these new experiences will have negative reactions to some of the stuff that happens to them that we know is a necessity of doing business in ways that make organizations successful.
Well, I would also
say, why wouldn't they push against the establishment? Why they're new. They don't know.
Well, and the purpose, like if you think about it, okay, so I'm new to my career. I'm just out of college. All of your experiences up until today, this point, have been experiences where you are receiving from something. You're receiving from school, education. You're receiving from parents, right? You're receiving the entire time. Mm-hmm. That's what you're here to do. You're here to get as much as you can get. Of course, when your job turns from, or your role or your purpose turns from, I'm here to get everything I can get, to I'm here to give everything I can give, of course, it's a learning experience. Of course, it's a step change difference. Why wouldn't it be? Because no one's organization is built to give them more. It's built to serve society.
Until you enter your first organizational job, big organizational job, it is very unlikely that you've had an experience in your first 18 to 25 years that have taught you how this will go.
Like maybe sports, maybe activities, but it's not to that kind of degree.
It's not that this group of young people is different. It's that young people are new. They're different than people who have been in this experience for a while. Okay, it's not just us. The article also says this.
Yeah.
The teacher we mentioned before says, okay, my fear of feedback has lessened. Actually, okay, she says her fear of feedback has lessened as she has gotten older. She now understands that criticism doesn't mean she's inherently bad at something, end quote. Okay. And what's just mind-numbing is that the article still makes this conversation about age versus experience.
Right.
And they still focus on negative feedback, even though this teacher defies their premise.
I don't know.
Yeah. No.
I don't know. I don't know why we're making this a generational thing. I think you're right, Kate. For me, I think it is the fact that I'm too immersed in the subject for too long. I almost can't even begin to understand. I feel like an idiot for saying these things repeatedly because I'm like, we could have covered this in like three sentences. This is literally the easiest thing in the world to understand. Young people are younger. They know less. Essentially, I've just been immersed in this for too long.
I also think, though, what happens is that sometimes there's bad bosses out there. And so people's experience with this is really bad.
Yeah.
And they go looking for another way, right? Or we wish it was different. It's large organizations. There's no perfect system, right? Humans create systems. And because humans are flawed, the systems they create are flawed. So we're not here to suggest that this is the perfect system. We are here to suggest that it is the best one that exists.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best one that exists. It's a system. It works. Yeah, it's worked.
If you've had a negative experience in it, you might go looking for someone to validate that there should be a better way. And guess what? No matter whatever age you are, young people are probably going to validate that for you. Mm-hmm. They're going to come, they're new to the system. Their experience with it is small, so they want a different system.
Mm-hmm.
let's not, because of our preference that it was different or our negative experience, go looking for someone without any experience to validate that we would like it to be different.
Yeah, exactly.
Because frankly, they're the wrong people. You shouldn't go looking to someone whose tenure is short to validate your feelings about that the system is flawed. We are human. We created the system. The system is flawed. This is the best system we've got. Now,
yeah,
that's not really fair. There's a lot of good organizations out there that are well run, and those systems are still flawed. And we've got a system.
Yeah. That's why we exist.
Probably imperfect, that we believe will help you.
Right. To bring to your flawed worldview. We've got a solution. If you're seeking an answer, feed forward isn't it? I feel like we've clearly established
Rebranding
that.
Rebranding is not that.
Rebranding is not the way. But we do have an answer. And this is why the feedback, the manager tools feedback model exists. So enough of tearing down all that bad management guidance.
Right.
Let's talk more about what the right way to actually give feedback is. And we recommend our manager tools feedback model, which has been tested on over 300,000 managers worldwide. I mean, we have on every continent on the planet Earth, except Antarctica, because penguins don't manage. We have tested this system. So we're going to talk about the manager tools feedback model. So you have a solution, which this article did not provide anyone other than changing the name, which we know won't work. So we need to come up with a different solution here.
So we start with what we've alluded to. You'll never get very far giving positive or negative feedback if you're not trusted by your directs. And we're going to limit this discussion to feedback to directs. So those people who are within your part of the organization, who work directly for you. Master this before you do anything else, and never, ever, ever give feedback to your boss. Do not ever.
Yeah.
Just don't. It's dangerous for you.
Right. So many people don't realize that about feedback. Do you notice that, Kate? The conversation's always about fixing feedback, and it's never about fixing the problems that occur before feedback. And that's what we're talking about here, essentially, is before feedback, starting with manager tools one-on-ones. Yes. Just like feedback, been tested on managers worldwide, a proven system to build trust between managers and their directs. Put that in place. And if you're not familiar with the manager tools models, by all means, go to our website, manager-tools.com. All of our podcasts are there about one-on-ones. You'll know, if you know of manager tools one-on-ones, that we recommend building trust for 3 months before diving into feedback at all. So prior to one-on-ones, which are quite simple, again, we have tons of podcasts about one-on-ones on our website. Prior to that, we'd say 3 months of relationship building.
Prior to feedback, 3 months.
Prior to manager tools feedback. Let me be clear. We're not suggesting you stop having all form of performance communication for the first 3 months. Keep doing whatever you're doing now.
Right.
It might not be the manager tools model, but it's fine for now. Changing too much too quickly will overwhelm you, and it'll overwhelm your directs. So just leave it. Leave it, build a relationship, keep having performance communications, positive and negative, the way you are now. And first build relationship. Then we can move into the feedback model.
Right. So once you've done that, tell them you're going to start talking to them more and differently about their performance. Tell them you've always wanted more guidance about how you were doing, good and bad, and you almost never got any, and you have it in your power to change that situation so that it doesn't have to happen to them.
Uh-huh.
Brief them on the feedback model so they know what's coming. Explain that the purpose of all feedback is to encourage effective behavior in the future. Positive feedback isn't just about making someone feel good that their boss noticed something they did in the past. It's about encouraging more of that same behavior in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Negative feedback is not, despite how virtually every other manager does it, about punishment.
It's not meant to make people feel bad.
Exactly. It's about encouraging more effective behavior in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Negative feedback isn't about the negative past. It's about a positive future. And that's why they'll hear you deliver not just positive feedback also negative feedback in a positive tone, tone of voice, a happy tone of voice, smile on your face, song in your heart. Mm-hmm. And then you also must tell them that for the next 8 weeks, you're going to use the model only to point out positive things. So you're going to shift your language. And when they hear that new language, it will only be for positive stuff for the first 8 weeks. You're going to be looking for positives because positive feedback is much more powerful than negative. And y'all, all of this education of them, all of the edification, all of the transparency, all of the explanation is valuable to them in A, helping reduce all that scary fear stuff that we were talking about before, and B, teaching them how to someday maybe be managers if they want to do it.
Yeah. So you want to explain it. And we have a podcast called Brief Before You Change that walks through that concept that Kate just covered in like 30 seconds there. But that concept mm-hmm. of always tell them first. Just tell them first. Be transparent. And then you're going to let them know first 8 weeks, only positive. I'll still talk to you about the things that maybe aren't going quite right, but I won't use the model for it. Ease some concerns that way. And then you'll explain the details of the model. You're going to tell them that prior to delivering the model itself, you're always going to start by asking a question, whether it's positive or negative, because in this model, we're asking, not telling. They can always, and you can say this to them, they can always say no to feedback and you won't give feedback. Now, folks, don't worry about somebody saying no all the time. It almost never happens. And if it does happen, we have a special podcast on our website for what happens if they say no all the time. But again, let's not try and solve problems we do not have. Don't worry
also,
about it.
It's a rare case. Yeah.
It's such a rare case. Such a rare case. So yes, just let them know you're going to ask them because you want it to be a conversation. You want to know whether or not they're ready. And tell them that asking is a way for you to show respect to them. If they're not in the right mindset, right? What if they're late for a meeting or they're rushing to do something, meet a deadline or a client, an important customer, who knows? It's okay to say no. And again, here I got to tell you, don't worry if they say no. Over 90% of the time, if an individual says no, they will come back to you within 3 hours to ask for the feedback. So that's step number one. If you go, you say, hey, do you have a moment? Could I share something with you? And they say no. And you're like, what do I do? You do nothing for 3 hours because 93% of the time, I think it is, our data shows within 3 hours, they come back and ask you for what that feedback was. Why? Because people need to know the rest of the story.
Yeah. Don't overrule their no. Don't do it, y'all. Don't do it. Why are you even asking if you're going to
ignore
their answer? And also, in our guidance, we recommend you use the same question every time. And if you're the person who's like got the overruling idea in your mind, you might be a little Machiavellian. And I sometimes am like that. And I will tell you this, one of the things I really like about using the same question over and over again is when you ask next time, they don't know if it's the same feedback. So you could also try again if they don't come back to you.
Exactly. Exactly.
They don't
you could
know.
Always try again. Leave it 3 hours. They didn't come back to me. Okay. 30 minutes
try
later, go
tomorrow.
Over to their desk. Exactly. And ask. Try tomorrow. Exactly. I mean, you've got so many options.
Right. They're right there. And okay, they might say no. It's really unlikely. If they say yes, tell them that you will then explain the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to, that they engaged in. We're always going to focus on behavior and only behaviors. And then tell them after we talk about behavior and tell them what they did, then we'll also explain the impact of that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really part of the reason that this model is really helpful is because it's cause and effect. It's action and reaction. It's incident response. It's when you put your hand on the stove, you get burned. Okay, so that's steps 2 and 3. And then the final step is that you talk about the future. So either say thank you, keep it up, well done, if it's positive. If it's negative, which you could also we sometimes call it adjusting. You can ask for different behavior next time.
Mm-hmm.
So that last part of the model then includes, can you do that differently?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Try something next time that's different than that because it didn't work.
I don't need it to be perfect next time. I just don't want it to be this.
Yes, exactly.
Or I'd like for us to shift into another type of behavior or, you know, something else. And when you put all this together, it can really take as little as 10 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. And no branding required, which is the convenient part.
Right. 10 seconds for a positive future.
Exactly.
No rebranding required.
No rebranding required. Exactly. And in summary, folks, you've got to be careful where you get your management guidance from, I guess is what we're saying. And when the Wall Street Journal starts talking about renaming something that they apparently don't even understand, it's a sign that almost everything you read online is wrong. The idea of the thought of renaming is galactically stupid. It ignores the value of trust in our manager-direct relationships. It focuses on the negative in respect to our communications, and it doesn't teach the value of focusing on behavior.
Use the Manager Tools feedback model, which you can find on our website, manager-tools.com, and watch your performance communication cares just melt away.
Melt away. Yeah. For a better world.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Kate.
Have a good day, y'all.
That's all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us over the holidays for our previously released Hall of Fame cast, something we do every year over the holiday season. And we will be back on January 8th with a new topic. See you then.